Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And grace and peace to everyone as we thank you for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. And we're going to pick up in our study here as we've been going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 1. We'll be continuing looking at verse number 5 here, which says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." And we left off last time looking at this issue of the "for what manner of men," and started talking about the issue of this pattern that the Apostle Paul, Silas, Timothy, and all those who had been ministering with him were for not only this local assembly in Thessalonica, but also for the entire body of Christ, and how we can see this same pattern as well. Now, when we look at things, and I want to go over to chapter number 2 for a moment, so you start to look at this issue of this pattern. We see here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, and we're going to read verse 13, and we're going to jump up a little bit in the chapter. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And I wanted to start with that verse when you're looking at the idea of a pattern, because the idea of the word of God is the only thing that can actually work in the life of a believer today that's actually going to produce any sort of change. And that change can only actually have an impact on an individual once they've put their trust in the gospel, and that's the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and believing that and that alone for their salvation. Once that occurs, then the word of God can actually work in the life of an individual. It can actually produce an effect, and that's what we see the Apostle Paul talking about, these individuals actually having the word of God work in them, but they also were able to see the pattern of what had been there with them. And let's go up to verses 10 and 11 in the same chapter here, where it says, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. And ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." And we see here, this is the issue of what the Apostle Paul sees about that idea of being that pattern for these individuals. You see him actually make a reference over in the book of Philippians to the idea of individuals being that light in this corrupt world, and how, you know, the members of the body of Christ really are supposed to be functioning in a way that once the word starts working in them, they are actually having an impact on other individuals by the actual things that they're doing. The Apostle Paul talks about how the word worked in them. I want to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, because you can see another example of, as the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, when he is describing here, again, this is, you know, this epistle is written by Paul and Timothy here. So when we see the Apostle Paul say this in verse 2 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, that we can see how the word was working in them. When it says, "Receive us, we have wronged no man, we have corrupted no man, we have defrauded no man. And the reason why they didn't do any of those things is because the word was actually working in these individuals and was producing a change. So that way when he describes them, as we've been looking at this idea of, you know what manner of men we were, that they could actually say, we knew because we saw it and we saw the impact the Word of God was actually having in the life of these individuals. Now, when we start talking about that Word of God having that impact, the thing we have to think of is, how could the Word of God actually have that same type of impact in our lives? How is it that the Word of God could actually produce the change that would be necessary so that way we could be described in this exact same manner? And we see the Apostle Paul actually make reference to these things, for example, in his prayer life when he would pray for a local assembly. You see that he's praying for these things to happen. Let's go over to Colossians chapter number 1. And we're going to see this prayer that he makes for this local assembly in Colossae and what it is that he's actually praying for with them. And here in Colossians chapter number 1, I want to start here in verse number 9. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And when we see the Apostle Paul, he's praying for this local assembly in Colossae. You know, that's always an important thing for us to really remember and realize, is that we should be praying for all of the members of the body of Christ. And we see here Paul praying for these individuals. And the first thing that he starts praying for is that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So he's praying for the fact that they would have an increase in the knowledge of the Word of God rightly divided, that they would have an increase in the knowledge of the doctrine that had been committed to the Apostle Paul. The information, would, she describes this, that he saw his purpose was to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. He knew that that was the responsibility that he had, and as part of that responsibility, you know, one thing would be to see the people receive salvation, but the other side of it is to have individuals, whenever I read part of that verse again in verse 9, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That seeing the fellowship of the mystery gives the individual that knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And once, as that knowledge is coming in, what you see in that second part of this prayer is that it actually has a result in the life of the individual. When you see in verse 10, when it says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And that the result of it would be they would actually have an impact on their lives, to where individuals would actually be able to see exactly what was going on in relationship to the doctrine being in them. You know, it's not a case of what you see in the law system of where an individual had to be doing the good works in order to have their salvation or to maintain their salvation, the good works for us, the members of the body of Christ, result because of the fact that we are saved. Because we have the knowledge of His will. Because we understand the information of God's Word rightly divided, the end result is that we're going to, or that we should, walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. This is why you see the Apostle Paul, when he starts writing some things, that he uses some terms that where it's not commands of what it is that we're supposed to do, but that he's giving this thing of where he's really trying to encourage all of us to actually do the things that God would intend for us to do. In fact, we see that. Let's go over to Romans chapter number 12. And here in Romans chapter 12, we're going to see a passage where the Apostle Paul is going to really be speaking about how this actually comes about in the life of the individual. When he says here in Romans chapter number 12, we're going to start here verse number 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, the Apostle Paul, and when you go through the book of Romans, you see how, you know, chapters 9, 10, and 11, he's dealing with some things related to the nation of Israel after he had laid out some things related to justification and sanctification. Then he starts dealing with why Israel's in the condition that they're in during this dispensation, and how God's going to be dealing with them again and will fulfill all of the promises that have been made unto them. And then starting in chapter number 12, you start to see the Apostle Paul give some practical information about how the life of the individual should actually be impacted by the information that actually has been given already to us by applying that doctrine to our lives, that it would actually have this impact. And you see that, you know, Paul's beseeching, he's begging this to happen. He's not commanding that this is going to occur. He's begging that the members of the body of Christ would allow this to happen. And this idea of what occurs is that there's a renewing of the mind that's supposed to happen, of where, you know, there's things of this world that try to take us away from the information that's found in the Word of God rightly divided. And instead of having all of that information inside of us, we are to be that workman that needeth not to be ashamed, taking in the Word of God rightly divided, studying the Scriptures, understanding what the doctrine is, so that way our mind is renewed and there's doctrine inside of us, so that way our life is going to be governed by the doctrine that we already have inside of us. And, you know, this is something that, you know, has to be done on a regular basis. You know, this is not something that an individual can say, you know, I have a full understanding of everything and I don't have to worry about studying anymore. You know, the individual needs to keep studying, needs to keep growing, because there's not a single individual that can actually say they have a complete, full understanding of everything that's found in the Scriptures, understanding all of the doctrine that's there for us. We all have to keep studying, learning, having that mind renewed, so that way it can actually have the impact on our lives that the doctrine is actually supposed to have. And when the doctrine has the impact that it's supposed to have, and you see that the verse talk about that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that we come to the understanding of exactly what that will of God is related to the idea of the things that we're supposed to do, that example that we are supposed to be. I want to go over here to Galatians chapter number 2. And we'll see here the Apostle Paul actually lay out exactly what is supposed to happen with the individual here in Galatians chapter number 2. We're going to read verses 20 and 21 of the chapter. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And here we have Apostle Paul talking about the life that's being lived now. And he's talking about how the life which we have, it's actually, you know, Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That when we are doing the things that we're supposed to be doing, when we're allowing the doctrine to have that impact on our lives, it's the Lord Jesus Christ living through us, and then we do the right thing that the Apostle Paul referred to in Colossians chapter number 1 when he was praying that they would be fruitful because their work is producing fruit, but their work is producing fruit because it's the Lord Jesus Christ living through them. Now, what individuals really do today is they do a couple different things of where, you know, one is they try to rely just on themselves and, you know, I'm just going to do everything. I don't need to rely on the Word of God. You know, in this situation, maybe I don't have to, you have to worry about, you know, some other things I do. The moment that an individual starts saying that they're not relying on the Word of God, they're not relying on, you know, the things that the Word says, they're not going to allow, really, they're not going to allow Christ to live through them. And instead of doing all of the right things that God intends for us to do, it's going to be all of the wrong things that are actually going to happen. The person's going to make mistakes according to the doctrine that's laid out. You know, and individuals try to do this all the time because they think that they need to do something to either please God or to maintain that salvation. And salvation has nothing to do with works. And Paul says that over and over again in his epistles, but he also tells us that we should be doing those good works. Now, individuals also have this mistaken idea, and I call it mistaken idea because it's really taking things from, you know, for example, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, for example, where it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, that one of his names was Emmanuel, which is God with us, you know, and that's a direct contrast to what the Apostle Paul talks about, that is, you know, Christ in us. In fact, the verse that we just read says, but Christ liveth in me, so he's in me, not with me. And so individuals take it and think that it's God being with me, and so they'll come up with things like, you know, for example, that the Footprints poem, and I'm sure, you know, a lot of people, you know, heard that and read that, and, you know, some people probably who are listening to this love that poem, you know, but it's not correct doctrine because he's not walking beside us. He's already in us. You know, so there would only be one set of footprints anyway because he's living in us. You know, individuals have, and, you know, you see the bumper sticker on people's cars every once in a while, you know, God is my co-pilot. You know, when they go, you know, you know, God's going to help me get through all these situations. Well, if you know anything about flying a plane, that the co-pilot is there as either an assistant or a backup to the individual who's the pilot. So if in this case where somebody is saying God is my co-pilot, their implication is the fact that they're the pilot. They're the one who's governing everything, which is a direct contrast to what the Apostle Paul is saying here of what the intention is, that the intention is that the life we're living is Christ living in us, and a demonstration of the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's why when we look in it, try to get the understanding of how do we know that information that's going to be the pattern that we need to follow. We see that information. I want to go over to Titus chapter number 2 for a moment. We're going to see the Apostle Paul is actually going to point out an issue of, you know, what comes up, what should be there as part of this understanding of the doctrine here. And in Titus chapter number 2, we're going to start here, verse number 11. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Now, we spent a number of episodes, you know, a few months ago, actually going through this passage in some detail related to how this applies to the life of the individual. And I really just want to focus here on the issue of what the grace of God that's appeared to all men is actually doing here. And in verse 12, it's teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. So the grace of God teaches us the things that we're not supposed to do. And the grace of God also does thing when it says we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So the grace of God teaches us not only the things that we're not supposed to do, but the grace of God teaches us what we're supposed to do. It gives us the answer to all of those things to say, this is how you're supposed to live your life. You know, an example with this, when you see the Apostle Paul, when he makes a reference to stealing, you know, the law just said, thou shall not steal. And just, you know, kind of the hammer coming down of saying, this is what you're not supposed to do. The Apostle Paul, teaching the grace of God, says, let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor that he may be able to give unto others. And I know I just paraphrased the last part of that passage, but you see, it's the issue of that solution to it. The first part is, here's what not to do. Don't steal. You know, so stealing is wrong, but instead of stealing, you should be working, and you should be working for this purpose, and that purpose is set where you could be able to give unto others, set where you could be able to take care of other individuals as a result of your work, that you can be that pattern and example for others. And that's the things that the grace of God actually teaches. So when the Apostle Paul, when he's writing and talking about, you know, all of these things and saying that they're the idea of them, that they could see that manner of men that they were among them, that they were able to see that pattern actually living among them, to say this is exactly how the doctrine should be, you know, applied and living out of our lives. And for those who see us today, they should be able to see the exact same thing. And that's how we function as what how the Apostle Paul puts it. And I made a reference to this verse towards the beginning of the episode here with Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, when it says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We shine as lights because the doctrine is living in us, because the Lord Jesus Christ is living through us as a result of our renewed mind, for that because of that pattern that we've seen in the Apostle Paul. Now, next time we actually will finish verse number 5, looking at the issue of why the Apostle Paul is saying that he was doing it for their sake, for the benefit of that local assembly that's there. And there's some important things that we need to understand related to that pattern that goes on that we see with the Apostle Paul. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday message through, you know, Facebook Live. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study, you know, through a conference call, you know, opportunity that is available. And as always, we would love to hear from each and every one of you that might be listening to these episodes. Just that any questions or comments you have, feel free to contact us at any point in time. So until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.